مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلاتم وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الحمد لله عز وجل. It is indeed the favor and blessing of Allah عز وجل that we are sitting in His house and learning ilm-e-deen. We could not have done it with our own power. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor. Surah At-Tawbah, ayat number 122. Allah azza wa jal says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةَ فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الأمين. It is not possible for all Muslims to go out and learn ilm-e-deen. This can't happen. Because some people have to do other tasks, other works. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Why should there not be a group from a community? A group from a community. From a larger group. A group from a larger group. From a town, from a city, from a particular location where a large number of Muslims reside. Why should there not be a group who goes out where? To the people of knowledge. And learns ilm-e-deen from them. What kind of ilm-e-deen? لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. تَفَقُّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Understanding of deen. It does not say a group goes and learns Arabic language and comes back. It does not say a group goes somewhere, gets a diploma or a degree and comes back. It says very clearly, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That group goes out to people of knowledge, spends time under their tutorship, and gains understanding of deen. And when he gains understanding of deen, so he comes back to his qawm, or they come back to their qawm, to their nation, in order to warn them, in order to cause fear of Allah in them, so they can become Allah fearing people. This is the understanding of the ayat, or rather say conceptual understanding of the ayat which I have recited. What we learn from this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us that we must learn ilm deen and then teach ilm deen. And this ilm deen must be based on understanding of deen, not something that you are rattling it in a parrot fashion, you don't know anything about it and you're passing it over. This possibility that you could have heard it wrong or read it wrong, so you don't have proper understanding and you're passing wrong information to somebody else. No, this is not what we are ordered. What we are ordered is that we must gain proper understanding of deen and then pass that understanding to others. Some amount of ilm is necessary for everyone. That's an individual obligation. If you are baligh, namaz is fard on you. It is fard upon you to know the masail of namaz. Every individual, male or female, women must know the masail of taharat. Has nifas, because they have to deal with them. Businessmen must know the masail of business. What makes the business halal? What makes it haram? What kind of deal is based on interest? What is not? Where there is no certainty in the deal, that business is not allowed. So all these kind of different kinds of businesses, a businessman must know. It's farz on him because he has to deal with them. But to become a complete alim-e-deen is fard kifaya. It means that if one or two or few people from the whole big community, they go out and learn ilm-e-deen and become ulama of deen, then the whole society is set free from sin. Otherwise, each and every individual would have been a sinner. So that individual who goes and becomes an alim-e-deen, he does a great favor upon the whole society. That whole society is set free from a major sin because of that individual. We have many obligations, many faraid, but this particular fard of seeking ilm-e-deen, learning ilm-e-deen is a greater fard than other faraid. You know, there's a amal, there's ibadat that you need to perform. And that amal and that ibadat is dependent upon something. And upon which it is dependent, that is ilm-e-deen. Because ilm-e-deen will coach you how to purify yourself, how to please your Lord, what intention to make, how to stand, how to make ruku, how to make sajda, how to recite, the knowledge about the timing, etc. whether it is zakat or hajj, there are rules and regulations. Knowledge will help you to fulfill these obligations. So therefore, the most important obligation for a Muslim is knowledge. And for this reason, the ulama are praised very much in Quran and in hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an alim is more stronger on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. Because 1,000 worshippers together cannot damage the cause of shaitan if they all get together and put their efforts together, as much as an alim can cause damage to the cause of shaitan. Because he's knowledgeable, he knows right and wrong, he knows what is iman and what is kufr. He can give correct guidance to people and save the iman of thousands, rather millions of people. He can write books, he can give speeches, he can write articles, he can answer questions. There are so many ways that he can play his role and he can help. And for this reason, I've chosen this topic particularly to make the community realize how important it is for us to have ulama in our families, in our societies, how important it is that we should have our sons going to Jamiat and Darul Uloom and studying and becoming ulama. You know, the fish in the water make dua for the existence of alim. Even insects, ants in their holes, birds in their nests, they make dua for the well-being of an alim. One wonders, why must these creatures make dua for an alim? What benefit are they getting? Are they coming and listening to his lectures? Are they coming and asking maslas from him and alim is answering their questions? What connection do they have with an alim? Yes, they have very strong connection and they understand that other people don't understand. The animals, the creatures, the birds, the insects, they know that this dunya is existing, and because of the existence of this dunya, we are living. We are getting our sustenance. But why is this dunya living? Why is dunya existing? Because ilm-e-deen is existing. And why the ilm-e-deen is existing? Because ulama are existing. So because of ulama, the insects, the birds, the animals, they know that we are living and we are getting our sustenance, we are breathing because of ulama. Therefore, they make dua for the well-being of ulama. We don't appreciate them. We don't realize their importance. But there are other creations, they understand and they realize and they make dua for them. So in this ayah karima, there is an ishara. We call it isharatun nas. Isharatun nas is also a hukm of Quran, but you understand it indirectly through an indication which is established in the ayat. So that isharatun nas is that, O Muslim community, you are responsible to establish madrasas. You are responsible to establish jamiat. You are responsible to establish learning institutions. You are responsible to establish true Muslim schools based on true mainstream teachings. Whatever the need is of the Muslim society, with reference of ilm, you are responsible to provide that facility, that need, you are responsible for that. You cannot allow children from your society going in the hands of corrupt people who will then corrupt their minds and insert their understanding of deen, and then you might find monsters growing up in your home that you thought that they will follow us and they will read Fatiha for us, but you will be surprised to hear that the very same son and the daughter is telling you, oh my daddy, you are mushrik, you are bidati, you are innovator, you have left the way of Islam. So how pleased would you be at that time when you hear that from your own progeny? So therefore it is your responsibility to safeguard the iman. So if you're not going to establish madrasas and jamiat and schools and darul madinas and universities and colleges, then when are you going to save them? So you need to have much bigger vision and bigger goals. Don't just settle with few madrasas that you have established in your country. You need to have more. There are much more learners than your institutions, than your idaras, than your madrasas, than your jamiats. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is doing their level best. But I will say that it's still very little. You need to grow on that. And how would you grow? Most of you are the zummedaran. Most of you have responsibility to take the work of Dawat Islami forward at a very higher level. So each and every one of you should be thinking and planning how to have more learning institutions in our country. So this is not an option for us, this is a responsibility. When you die, everything you leave behind, nothing you take with. Your millions you would not take with. Your dozens of fancy cars, you would not take them with. Your wife, your children, for whose sake you did not care about halal and haram, as long as money is coming so I can fulfill their needs, they will not even go for one night with you in the qabr. All will leave you. You and your dark grave. No one knows what's happening. But do something that can go with you in the qabr. You would be an intelligent and a smart person if you do something for yourself. You have been doing always for others who will let you down. If not in the dunya, then even in the akhirah, they'll let you down. That child for whose sake you did everything that was possible on the surface of this earth to please him and to fulfill his needs. But on that day when you need one neki and you ask him, oh my son, I'm in trouble and I can be successful if you just give me one neki, and that very beloved son will say to you, sorry dad, I can't help you. So he'll let you down, definitely. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That's the day when the man would want to run away from his wife, from his children, from his parents, from every relative. No connection. All relationship are broken. Every nasab, every hasab is broken. Every blood relationship is broken. Every in-law relationship is broken. But there's one relationship that would stay intact, and that is the relationship of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That rishta will never be broken. For this reason, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the hand of the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to marry. Whereas he was an elderly person and the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a young lady, there was a big gap in the age. When people passed comments, he called people in Masjid al-Nabawi and he said that, don't think that I have any bad intention. I wanted to marry that girl so I have a rishta and a connection in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because I've heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every hasab and nasab yanqati'u, it will be broken on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illa nasabi wa hasabi, except my nasab and my hasab. So worry about yourself, worry about your grave, worry about your akhirat. Three things will help you. Children that you have left behind who will make dua for you, you will get the benefit of that in the qabr. And what kind of children would they be? They would be those children that you brought them up correctly according to Islamic values. You sacrificed, you made contribution, you gave time. Because if you left them on the mercy of television to grow up and you were too busy and working two shifts a day because you wanted more pounds, then of course your children will grow up without your training. And when they grow up without your tarbiyat, Islamic tarbiyat, you think they will be sitting and reading Fatiha for you when you die? They will see you as a burden when you are an old man. They will never serve you because you never served them when they needed your service. And now, as an old man, you need their service? No, forget about it. Tit for tat, what you do, you get. So, if you make contribution and bring your children up in a nice way, and they make dua for you, they're your extensions, they're part of you. When they read namaz, when they give charity, when they're living a noble life in society, you're getting the benefit of that. They're part of you. They're your blood. The second thing that would help you in the qabr is sadaqah jariyah. Sadaqah jariyah means that you put your money in something that its benefit continues. Any welfare work, you dig a well for people to drink water, for animals to benefit, birds to benefit. Water, where there's no water, you put up a library, people can come, sit, read, benefit. Put up a masjid, masjid will stay masjid till the day of Qiyamah. And all the masjids would be lifted on the day of Qiyamah and taken into Jannat. These are the gardens of Jannat. Masjids are gardens of Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you enter the gardens of Jannat, eat something from them. Sahaba ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, where are the gardens of Jannat? What must we eat from there? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that masajid are the gardens of paradise. They're the gardens of paradise. So when you go there, you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar. You make zikr of Allah. That is the fruit from the garden that you are eating. So when you come to masjid, even if you are an electrician and you're entering the masjid, don't just come and start doing your work. Sit in the masjid for a few minutes, do some zikr, read nawafil, then do your work. Because Allah made it possible for you to come into the garden of Jannat. Hame to hukm hai na, jab bhi mauka mile, khao, charo. Jannat ke baagon mein se charo, graze yourself. And the third thing which will help you in the qabr is ilmi faiz. You became an alim-e-deen and you taught other people. You wrote a book, people are reading and benefiting. You taught many people. Now they are teaching other people and then they are teaching other people. And there is a chain reaction from generation to generation. Your faiz is continuing. So you getting the sawab of that in the qabr. Now see, there are three things mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah which are Sadqa Jariyah. But the faiz and the beneficence of Ilm Deen is greater than others. For this reason, the intelligent people of this ummah always invested more in ilm-e-deen than in something else. The people who were rulers in the past, or they were rich people in the past, they would put up madrasas, jamiat, darul ulooms, and they will sponsor ulama to write books. We don't find those kind of rich people anymore, that who would look for ulama, capable, able ulama, and tell them, I want you to write books, I want to sponsor you. I don't want you to struggle and run around for small salary. I don't want you to be selling chickens here and there. You are an alim-e-deen. This work doesn't suit you. Do the work that's befitting to your qualities and abilities. Alamgir Aurangzeb called the group of ulama and said that we need an encyclopedia of Hanfi fiqh. We don't have it. He called Mullah Nizamuddin Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, the greatest mufti at that time, and a jamaat, a great jamaat of ulama. And he said, running your house should be least of your worry. I would take that worry on my shoulders. You sit down and you do the work. And then what happened? What's the production? They gave us Fatawa Alamgiri. It's the decoration of every research library. If there's a research library and Fatawa Alamgiri is missing, then it's incomplete. Nizamul Malik, a ruler of Baghdad, he established a madrasa Nizamiya. He was a rich man, ruler, he had money. He put his money in madrasa, in Jamia. Students were coming out from there. Imam Ghazali graduated from there. Imam Razi graduated from there. Sheikh Shirazi graduated from there. Hazur Sayyidina Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu graduated from that madrasa. How lucky that king is who's not benefiting from the work of Imam Ghazali till today. Who's not benefiting from the ruhaniyat and the work of Hazur Sayyidina Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala until today. So this is where you need to come and play your role. If Allah has blessed you with wealth, then invest your money, invest your wealth in spreading knowledge. These ulama that we're talking about are the ulama who have understanding of deen. And who has the understanding of deen? Who's blessed with two fa. You know, fa, alif, ba, ta, tha, and then comes fa, that letter fa in Arabic. Fe, olden days we used to say fe. The new style of learning, you know, alphabets is fa. You know, so, you know, there's one word with fa, is farman. And the one word with fa is faizan. And Dawud Islami people know faizan very much. Because we too used to Faizan. Faizan-e-Madina, subhanAllah. Faizan-e-Ala Hazrat, Jari Rahim. We are people of Faizan. Now I want to explain you what is Faizan. You have Farman and you have Faizan. Farman is قَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, quoting. Allah said this, Nabi Pak said this, Sahaba said this, Tabi said this, Ahle Bayt said this, Wali said this. You know, when you quote, that's a farman. And Faizan is that your connection of love and respect with that person whose farman you are quoting. If you don't have adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are causing big mischief in the Muslim Ummah. If you have no love and no respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you are courting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are going to cause a big fitna in the ummah. You know, you have fitting, light fitting. That's farman. Light fitting is farman, and the powerhouse is fazan. So if this light fitting is not connected with the powerhouse, where will you get the light? You will still see the globes are there. You will still see that it looks very nice, but you're pressing all the buttons and then you are sitting disappointed. Oh, light is not coming. How the light can come? Because your wires are not connected with the powerhouse. So alim is only that person who says qala Allahu wa qala ar-rasulu, and his heart is attached with Allah and his Rasul with love, with respect, with reverence, and he's totally lost in the love of Allah and his Rasul. Then only when he says something, he is now telling you the message of Allah and his Rasul. When we talk about ilm-e-deen, we're not talking about a language. We're talking about tafaqquh fi deen, as it is mentioned in Quran Kareem. So tafaqquh fi deen does not depend upon any language. Alhamdulillah, we have great scholars from the subcontinent that can solve any difficult book written in Arabic language. They don't speak the language because there's no culture, there's no environment, there's no opportunity. This does not mean that they don't know Arabic language. They study more hard to understand Arabic language and its grammar and all its rules and regulations than maybe the scholars in Arab countries. And they admit to us and they tell us. So when you become an alim-e-deen, that is with faiz, and that's the kind of ulama you need to produce. You need to send your children to jamiat, to darul ulooms, to become those ulama that would bring the light to society. Unite them on the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the sunnah, on the character, on the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unite them. Those ulama do not divide Muslims on the name of Piri Muridi. They do not divide Muslims on the name of this silsila or that silsila. The true ulama of Fazan, they always unite all the Ashkani Rasul. That's their main nishani and that's their main sign. You know, I just want to give you one example. When a person becomes an alim of faiz, then how would you see the difference? I would like to quote one hadith. I just want to share one hadith with you. And that would be my last discussion in this whole bayan. And that's also to put shock into you, so you can prepare yourself, your minds and the minds of your household, your parents, you know, wife, whoever is involved in upbringing of children, so you can make a mind and make sure that you send your children to become ulama-i-deen, so they can be ulama of faizan and barakah and beneficence, and people can benefit from them. There's a hadith mubarakah in which it's mentioned that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding on mule, khachar, mule. It's in between horse and donkey. It's an animal. And suddenly, the animal stood on 2 feet. It got scared. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came down from the back of that animal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are 2 graves here. And those 2 people are being punished. And this animal saw the punishment and got scared. So therefore, it reacted in this way. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the reason that these 2 people are being punished, one was careless about the urine of animals. He was appointed to look after camels. When the camel would urinate, sprinkles of urine would come on his clothes, so he wouldn't worry about that. And the second person was a chughal khor. You know chughal khor? Carries tail. Tail teller. Moves around with tail, telling everyone, "Arey, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya." Suna aapne? Did you hear this? Muft mein. Charges no one, no money. Free information. He goes around everywhere. Chughal khor. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the second person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bring fresh branch of tree." He, you know, parted that branch into two pieces, and he put on one piece on one cover, and the other piece on the other cover. There were no visible covers, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew where the covers are. He put them on that, and then he said that while these branches will remain moist or wet, fresh, with the zikr of them, that means they'll make zikr, with the zikr of them, these two people in the cover, their azab will become less. Inko fayda pahunchega. Takhfif. The azab will become less. That's hadith mubarakah. And ulama of Faizan, they extracted some madani flowers I want to share with you. Maybe you will become a little bit greedy, or rather say some greed is good. Tempted. Yaar, mera bachcha bhi alim bane. Aur mera bachcha bhi aisi aisi baatein kare. So, I think that would be beneficial. Okay, one thing. That nothing can become curtain in front of the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One point. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw what was in the qabr and what was happening in the qabr. Nobody else could see, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw. Now this is the point that you learn from this hadith. And then you learn that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rides at an animal, then the curtains are removed from the eyes of animal as well. In the normal circumstances, the animal would not have been able to see what is happening under the ground. But because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting on that animal, because there was a touch of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of that, the animal could also have ilm-e-ghaib. Okay, we learn this point from this hadith mubarakah. Okay. What we learn, what else we learn? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of the outer and inner conditions, hidden conditions of the people. I mean, if you go at a qabr, and even if the qabr is open up and you see the person is being punishment, you can see the punishment, but you can never know the reason. Isn't it? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is blessed with such deeper knowledge of unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he can even know the reason why somebody is being punished. Isn't this is proven from this hadith mubarakah? Now there's other people that they know Arabic and they are called muftis. What they are proving? They are proving Allah is a cheater. And here the alim of Faizan is bringing so many beautiful things. I mean, if we discuss on some other ayat, if there's time sometimes, it's a very interesting topic. And you learn from this hadith mubarakah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows our problems and he knows how to solve them. You learn from this hadith mubarakah because he knew the problem of those people and he knew what to do in order to solve their problem. That put the, you know, fresh branch and their problem is solved. That was the remedy. That was the treatment for them in that situation. And he taught us that when there's something that is green still, branch of a tree or something, it does tasbih, and that tasbih helps the deceased person that's in the qabr. So when you go and you put flower on the qabr and you put some leaves on the qabr, that's a good thing. And alhamdulillah, we do that. And it's a good practice. And we learn that it is jais to put flowers on the graves of awliya Allah. Its asal is this hadith mubarakah. Because flowers are also part of tree, they're still fresh and they make tasbih and there's benefit. So it's jais. So if someone questions you, why you people want to put flowers? We put flowers because of this hadith mubarakah. And we learn, even though everything reads tasbih, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, that there is no thing, there is nothing that does not make tasbih. So that means everything does tasbih. But then why Rasulullah ﷺ said that put the branches of tree, why not something else? He could have ordered, just take some stones and put the stones on top of it. Because stones also do tasbih. But he said, no, bring branches of tree. What it means? It means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that even though everything does tasbih, but the effect of everything's tasbih is different. So effect of the tasbih of fresh branches of tree is helpful for azab-e-qabr. Such detailed knowledge of unseen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you're learning all this from this hadith mubarak. And we learn that it is good thing, it is jais to have half as a Quran sitting at the qabr for a few days reading. Because if the tasbih, the zikr of fresh branches of tree can benefit the deceased Muslim, then definitely if huffaz of Quran are sitting and reading the kalam of Allah, then definitely there will be benefit to the deceased Muslim. So we learn from this hadith mubarakah. And we also learn that if person is not careful about urine drops, he can be put in azab in the qabr. Therefore, Islamic sisters must take this matter very seriously when they have children and the children urinate and they clean them. Because it's too much, they have to do it over and over and they become lazy sometimes. Then their clothes, their bodies are touched with some drops of urine and they carry on with that. So it's very bad. From this hadith mubarakah we learn, whether you are male or you are female, you have to refrain from urine. Urine lag gaya kahin, foran saaf karo. Wash immediately. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah, and this is the mazhab of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the urine of halal animals is also impure and haram. Because the animals were camels, and camel is a halal animal. So unke pishab ki wajah se isko azab ho raha tha. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, with this we learn that we need ulama, and we need ulama of Faizan, and we need ulama that can link you with Allah and His Rasul. And trust me, Dawat Islami would provide you those ulama. So get involved, get active, become knowledge loving community. Appreciate them, these ulama. They're not looked after. Governments don't look after them. Community don't treat them well. They treat them like they're knockers. But these ulama, they still make sabr. These durvesh, they live humble life. They sit on their chatais and on their musallas. And they continue serving this beautiful deen. Their work is spread in thousands and thousands of pages just for the sake of Allah and Rasul, for deen. Honor them, respect them, and make sure that your coming generation will have maximum ulama. This mindset must be of every muballigh, of every zimmedar of Dawat Islami. Because we are Muslims. Islam is all about knowledge. The time before Islam is called the time of Jahiliyyah. So when that time is called the time of Jahiliyyah, Islam stands opposite to that time. Therefore, Islam is the time of ilm. And Dawat-e-Islami represent true Islam. Therefore, Dawat-e-Islami is all about ilm. Everything that Dawat-e-Islami does is about ilm. Dars, give dars, give dars. Do this course, do that course, read this book, read that book. Go in Madni Kafilas. Madni Kafilas are also mobile madrasas. They move around from place to place. That madrasa goes everywhere. Where people are coming and learning their deen. So we as Dawat Islami, this should be our main identity, that we are knowledge loving people. That should be our identity. We appreciate ilm and we appreciate the people of ilm. We appreciate ulama. We appreciate students. We appreciate madrasas. We appreciate jamiats. We look after them. We work very hard. We make sure that these institutions run successfully. And alhamdulillah, you are doing it. But I'm encouraging you to do more. You can do more, lot more. Allah has blessed you in this country with a lot of resources that you can do a lot. Take benefit of that. You don't know when condition can change. There's no guarantee that one particular country will always be affluent and things would always be easy. There's no guarantee. Anything can happen in any part of the world. So while it's easy with you, do something extraordinary. I wish we can have a great university. Darul Madina, Islamic University, run by Dawat Islami in UK. Inshallah. And if you have that mindset and you are motivated and you are optimistic, you will be able to achieve it, inshallah. May Allah keep us on that path where we serve deen, serve ilme deen, and we grow ourselves, our children, our families in proper understanding of deen. Inshallah azza wa jal. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
O Muballigh, for you is my prayer. O Muballigh, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.